You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Tonight we have interviews with some integral members of our Lafayette College broadcast House of Pards. We have our own Frankie Aluzzi and Kat Stevens, the hosts for the eventual broadcast on November 8th. And we also have one of our producers, Frankie.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Rachel Robertson, who is one of our two main producers. She is actually focusing specifically on the live broadcast aspect of the broadcast. So we have two aspects. We have the live broadcast, everything that will be happening the night of the election, as well as a pre-recorded section. And she's focusing specifically with the live broadcast aspect. But first,
we have Ben Janicek, who has been our political director, doing a great job, and he's going to give us our weekly update on the polls, some interesting aspects of the election right now, and as usual, he gives some great, great info.
And here's Ben.
Thanks for coming in, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
So explain what the polls have done since the last presidential debate.
They've trended more... increasingly more toward Hillary Clinton. She's up now around 7 points. She was up 3 to 4 going into the second debate. And that 3 to 4 point number was trending up for her. So it's continued to go up. And we'll see where that goes now, but she has a pretty comfortable lead.
What have been the effects, or at least that have been noticeable in the polls, from the Donald Trump video that came out last Friday?
Yeah, so it's hard to tell how much of that lead she's accumulated since that debate is from the debate or is it from the video, which was released a couple days before the debate, then the accusations from the women, which came a couple days after the debate. Mm-hmm. All that happened right around the same time period.
Right.
So it's hard to separate those and say which is having the biggest impact. It's likely the accusations in the video is having more of an impact, negative impact on him. Than the debate.
So Utah has been an interesting case as of lately. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah. So in Utah, we have the Evan McMullen, an independent candidate who brands himself as the only real conservative in this race. He got on the ballot in Utah. He's been running really hard in Utah, trying to win that state. And a couple of recent polls have shown him in a dead heat with Trump and Clinton. In Utah, they're all, you know, right around upper 20s, right around 30%. So we have a three-way, really close contest in Utah between McMullen, Clinton, and Trump, which is unheard of for the state. It's gone Republican for the last 50 years, very solidly, very reliably. So this is a major development in this campaign we haven't seen in a long time.
Why is Utah turning away from the Donald Trump brand of conservatism?
So, yeah, Utah is certainly a Republican state, but it's a very unique Republican state in that over almost 70%, 60-something percent of the state is Mormon, and you know, that's very important to them. And so Donald Trump's brand of conservatism is not something that's appealing with them because they're more of a traditional conservative Republican, and Trump is trying to break through to a different, new kind of Republican, mm-hmm. and that's not... meshing well with the Utah voters at all.
Okay.
Up next, we have an interview with our hosts of the broadcast, Frankie Aluzzi and Kat Stevens. So here it is.
How did you guys end up in the position of hosts?
So actually, for a student-produced broadcast last year, same idea, same sort of class, I auditioned to be on camera, but then it was brought to my attention that there was a bigger role to be on camera as a co-host for the election night broadcast, so I decided to not be on camera for a previous production in order to take this opportunity.
And yeah, I haven't been involved in any of the broadcasts before this, but I do have experience working on the radio. So obviously I produce this radio show now with you, Chris. But I've also done podcasts in the past, as well as hosted music-related shows. So I have experience with that, as well as speech and debate. And I'm a GovLaw major, so I had that experience behind me as well.
And then as far as the process now, we both read off a teleprompter for a few minutes, worked with our industry professionals that we have coming in to consult and help us become on-camera hosts, and we were chosen. So that's how we got
the
here.
Chosen ones.
The chosen ones. We are the chosen ones.
What are you guys doing with promo videos? How are you guys involved with those?
Yeah, so right now we've shot two promos. The first was only really presented, I think it was on our Facebook page, if you guys want to go on there and check that out. And this was actually shot all by students, the very first promo that we did. So that was just a brief thing, kind of as an introduction. And Kat, do you want to talk about the second more professional one we did?
Yeah, so the second one that we did, we actually worked with PBS 39 with their cameramen, and they had a script ready for us. So that one I think will be showing more frequently. We just saw the finished product today, actually, and it looks really cool. It has some cool shots of us all working, and it looks very professional and put together. So really excited about that.
When you're on camera, with a lot of it being scripted, how are you guys trying to figure out how to handle unscripted moments?
So yeah, so the part about an election night broadcast is that obviously we don't know who's going to win anything. So we have to prepare for a lot of different scenarios. And then, of course, we do have a lot of technology that we are depending on with the teleprompter, with our screens, with our video essays. So we have to be prepared for any outcome of the election. And then on top of that, anything that could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, and like again, just like going back to my experience as a radio, my experience in radio, at WJRH, we have a button that we can hit if we mess up that erases the last 12 seconds of whatever happened. We will not have that when we're on PBS that night.
I wish.
That would most likely be helpful, but we know that we won't have that. So I think that's been coming from the experience of being like, oh, if I make a mistake, like, I can fix it, and then going into a situation where it's permanent no matter what happens, is an interesting shift, and I've been trying to figure out how to prepare for that. I think I've been doing a pretty good job in working with Kat and our advisor as well on that.
I think you've been doing a good job too.
Thanks, Kat.
So as hosts, what are you guys doing to prepare for election night?
So right now, every Thursday, we meet for a little bit of time with an industry professional who has experience in broadcasting, and she's been going over a bunch of different techniques and a bunch of different ways for us to make sure that we present ourselves in the best way possible.
And then on top of that, like many of the other students in the class, we are producing our own video essays. So for example, I'm working with three other students in the class to look at the thoughts of first-time voters on Lafayette campus. So we're interviewing students about the issues that are important to them, what they think could be improvements in the voting process, and so far it's been a really rewarding experience.
And Frankie, what's your video essay that you're working on?
Yeah, so I'm working with my partner on an examination of the Supreme Court and the future of the court after the election. So a big topic right now has been the empty seat left by the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, and then possible nominations that both Mr. Trump and Secretary Clinton have presented as possible nominees. So our piece examines that and talks about both the future and various cases that will be influenced by the outcome of both the presidential and Senate elections.
So as hosts, a lot of what you guys are going to be saying is scripted. Give a general feel for like what you guys are trying to do with the script.
So for the scripts right now, we are working on those first few moments when the TV starts rolling. And we're speaking to the potential 6.5 million viewers of PBS 39, because that's really the make or break moment. And then we are working with other students in our class, talking about their packages and figuring out the best way that we can, we call it a throw, or introduce the package or their ideas on the show.
And a big part of it, too, is making sure that we are nonpartisan and unbiased as we do it. So in addition to the scripted aspect, we have to be focused and make sure that as we go throughout the night and there may be an unscripted moment, that we remain completely unbiased and unpartisan. So we're working on that consistently, both in our prepared packages and preparing for our live presentation on the night of the broadcast.
So we've been asking, I'm trying to ask this in a lot of the interviews that we're doing for the radio show. What do you guys hope comes out of the election night broadcast? What is the end goal of this two-hour TV event that we're doing?
I hope that our viewers will watch it and say, wow, I can't believe that a bunch of college students got together and put this together and it was just them. I think that's the ultimate goal. And so far, if we're heading the way that we have been doing, that'll end up happening.
Yeah, it really is kind of cool seeing how everyone comes together to work on this, because we say this a lot, but it actually is completely student run. We do have advisors who have more experience, but everything is actually done by students. So it's going to be a really, really interesting show, and I really hope you guys check it out.
Okay, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Up next, we'll be talking with Rachel Robertson, our producer for the on-air live part of our broadcast.
Thanks for coming in, Rachel.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So explain what your role is for the broadcast.
So in addition to some of the senior leadership that we have with the Professors Crane and Laura McHugh at PBS, who are the executive producers, we have a level of student producers, and that's me and John Ottinger. So we are students that are focusing on, you know, both sides, the pre-tape packages and the live packages that we're going to do for this broadcast. So I am technically in charge of the live show, so I'm the producer for the live show. So that means I'm involved really with everything that goes on, looking at the end result of having a very nice live product to have for PBS viewers on election night.
How did you end up getting involved with the broadcast?
So this actually started, I think, my freshman year. I was in an FYS with Professor Nicole Crane called In the Media. And that year they had gotten some grant money to do kind of a research project looking at immigration. So what they decided to do was do a Lafayette Lens broadcast on immigration. So she pitched that to her In the Media FYS, and I was the one freshman that decided to get involved with it. So I traveled to Guatemala to work on that immigration broadcast, had a video essay package for that broadcast, worked on, really loved that experience so much that I worked on the autism broadcast last year through a class that I had, again, with Nicole Crane, but also just because I enjoyed doing it so much. And then after you have two of those productions under your belt, it's hard to kind of step away from it. So when I saw the election class on the course registration, I jumped at the opportunity because I love working with PBS, I love working with the Cranes, and I love just having that final end product that you can show to people, that you can talk about for years to come, just saying, I worked on this, it was really cool, this is all I learned from it. So I became involved just because I was involved before. So
What are your previous what's the previous media that you've done with PBS?
So those two broadcasts I worked on, the immigration broadcast and then the autism broadcast, were both with PBS. They were Lafayette Lens productions. So I've worked with Laura McHugh quite a bit, and Brittany and some of the other people that are at PBS that are helping us out with this. So the familiarity is really, really helpful, just knowing how it works so you can answer people's questions if this is the first time they've gone through with it. But it's the first live production I've done. Everything else was pre-taped. If you messed up, you could tape it again. If, your hair was out of place, you could do it again. If you sounded really stupid, you could do it again. Here, there's no doing it again. So we're going to all get it right on the first try. And if not, we're going to be able to work through it. Resiliency is definitely a key thing here.
So with you being, in title, the election night producer, essentially, what specific preparations are you doing for that night?
On a personal level, over fall break, I went and got a really cool dress. I am prepared. I'm going to look nice. This is good. Because everything before was you're seated at a desk. Like I said, if you
looked bad in the first take, you could do it again. So yeah. I made sure I got dressed that no matter if I ended up on TV or not, it would look okay. So on a personal level, that was what I did over fall break. But it's really making sure to stay on top of everything that's going on. I didn't realize how much goes into a live broadcast, so that's been, you know, both challenging and, you know, difficult, but something that I've really, I appreciate a lot more. So not only just keeping on track of, you know, keeping track of what's going on with the pre-produced packages, even though that's not my area that goes into the live broadcast, so, but it's, you know, what is the background going to look like? Are our hosts prepared? Are our analysts prepared? Making sure everyone is moving in the right direction. So a lot of the preparations that I have done are just making sure everyone else is getting prepared. That's kind of, it's a good thing about being a producer is you're not doing, you don't have to do all of those little, there's so many pieces that go into it, and you're not responsible for each and every one of them for doing the actual act of those pieces, but it's making sure they all work together, make sure everything is prepared. So I guess my preparation is just making sure everyone else is prepared, making sure everyone knows their role, is comfortable in their role, can do their role well, and help them out in any way I can, just from my previous experience, and know who to send them to for help. So,
What are some of the live aspects of the broadcast?
So, night of the election, we obviously will have, we will show some of these pre-taped packages. In addition to that, what makes this different than any other Lafayette Lens broadcast is that we are bringing live, up-to-the-minute election results. So we have our results desk that has an anchor and two analysts that are going to be telling us when Ohio is decided, when Pennsylvania is decided. So that's one very important part that makes this an election broadcast. This could be, you know, just a random news broadcast for anyone watching, but what makes it special is having that live, you know, groundbreaking news coming in, telling us what direction the country is going in. Besides that, we have the bullpen. So the bullpen is actually my favorite thing about the election night broadcast. Even though we haven't done it, it's already my favorite. So we're going to have a moderator, a lot of student voices, telling us what first-time voters and Lafayette College students are, really care about and what they think, what, you know, who they're supporting, why they're supporting them, why they think things are important. So that will be, they will have a huge, I think, yet we have yet to realize how big of a role they're going to have, but it's going to be an important one because it's not just here are the numbers, it's why these numbers matter.
Right.
And the analysts at the results desk are going to do that too, but here it's a little bit less regimented, a little bit more free form of saying, you know, why I care about a particular issue.
So while the bullpen might be, it's more focused on, like you say, like why you care, the results desk is more why this happened.
Exactly. So it's a how versus a why, and I mean, they're going to be covering similar things, but they're coming from it, coming to it from different perspectives and different focuses. So our results desk is really focused on what's going on in the country that night and how the election results are coming in and why Ohio goes one way or another. Why, you know, Florida was a runaway or why different things happen. Why we don't even care about some states because we just know how they're going to vote. Whereas you go a little bit deeper in the bullpen saying, you know, why does healthcare matter to voters? Why does, you know, small business matter to voters? It's more so, it's more, I guess, topical and more so has a broader reach. So, I don't know. I'm very excited for that. We also have a social media desk, which that's probably what I know the least about right now, but that's a very, that happens night of. It's what people are talking about, what they're tweeting, what they're putting on Instagram, what they're Snapchatting about. And the team there is going to have to be really on top of it because that can change just so quickly. And that'll be a really fun aspect to have because I think social media played a huge part in this election. And to see how it plays out night of and if that impacts anything will be interesting. Absolutely.
So with the election happening, or with our broadcast happening in Farrenon Atrium, with a lot of equipment having to be brought in, are you working the logistical aspect of spacing within the atrium?
Yeah, so part of the team that I am working with is figuring out what in the world we are going to do with Farrenon to make it ready for this live election night broadcast to make it look professional, but still college-y, for lack of a better term. Right. So people know you're coming live from a college. These are well-prepared students that have spent a lot of time on it, but they're college students. That's, you know, why PBS turns it over to us. That's our competitive advantage. People want to care what we have to say.
Right.
So we worked with a team, a huge team. When I walked into the first meeting for it, I was very, very overwhelmed with how many people were there. We had people from two or three different local news stations. We had people from communications at the school. We had people from IT at the school. We had people from the production company we're using. We had people from PBS, obviously. We had professors there. We had students there. It was this huge group, and everyone that walked past us in Farrenon was like, what's going on? Why is this huge group like going, you know, sneaking around Farrenon trying to figure out where everything's going to be? The hardest thing is figuring out a floor plan. It has to look nice. It has to be organized. It has to be functional. We need the GIS team, our, you know, mapping team that's going to be putting in data live for us right next to the results desk, because they're going to be using those maps. They need to be able to communicate back and forth. But that takes up a humongous amount of space because of all the computer and the technology that's needed to do that. So it's a lot of playing with different pieces, figuring out not only what looks good, but what works well. So it's a work in progress. We're getting there. We're using some of the like blueprints from last year. We want to have it.
Yeah.
There's some things, you know, that worked well last time, that, or not last year, last election cycle. There's some things that worked well last time. There's some things we want to improve upon. So it's kind of taking... I wish we had just a giant board with like movable pieces that we could just move everything around. But right now we've got a lot of great input from everyone, and we're working on, and some of it, it will mostly be decided by that night, but some of it might have to be like, you know, what are we going to do with this backdrop?
Right.
How are we going
to
best utilize it? But we will be using every square inch of Farrenon that we can. And if a student happens to walk into a shot, great. They got to be on live TV.
It's that college-y experience.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So if, you know, the football team's headed, you know, to dinner and they walk through, maybe we'll ask them, you know, who they voted for or something like that. We'll definitely incorporate the college environment and the college community that we're, you know, filming this in front of into what will... Certain areas will be roped off. We don't want to mess with that. But if someone gets into a shot, good for them. They'll be on PBS tonight.
So talking about that college community a little bit, there are six classes, or around six classes, that are working on this broadcast. So what are the benefits and difficulties of working with so many professors, so many students, so many separate classes with separate things going on?
I think the immediate benefit is just the manpower and woman power that we have working on this. This is a huge production, and it's bigger than any other Lafayette Lens production I've ever worked on before. So we have multiple FYSs, the election broadcast class, the leadership class, the GIS class, that are all either working on maps for the production or video essays for the production, or comprise kind of the senior leadership of the production. And it's great because when someone says, oh, I need a map for this package, I don't have to go, oh my goodness, how do I animate a map? Like, how do I do this? I can just call up the GIS class and say, hey, this is what we need. Here's some data. Let me know what you can work with. And then they give us a product that's fantastic. So just from a number of people standpoint, it's really, really helpful. The more people you have, the less work that everyone has to do, and the stronger quality your product is, just because people have different experiences. They have different things that they bring to a broadcast that just one class might not be able to field those exact expertises.
How
do you want to know the challenges, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The challenges.
Challenges.
Those are, yeah. Right.
The challenges is definitely communication. It's a lot of these classes are at the same time as other ones, so it's not like you say, "Hey, I'll stop in class and we'll talk about it. We'll go over it." So I've actually been in every single class that is involved with this so far. I've been in at least one class. Usually that happens when one of my other classes is canceled and I just happen to show up and be like, hey, I'm here today. How can I help? But it's been, you know, you've got different levels of experience. So we have some FYSs that are working on this. And, you know, this is their first semester in college. They don't even really know exactly what they're working with. But they're turning out some great package ideas and have gotten some great interviews.
Yeah.
And I've been very, very pleasantly surprised. And I knew that they would, you know, give us something to work with. But getting it that early and getting it that strongly was not something I was expecting, because I just remember me as a freshman in an FYS, and what I made for that class was not near the level that they are. So that's been great. But it's also, I mean, communication is an issue, but having similar expectations. Like in the election class, we know exactly what we're working on because we're working on it every single day.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're doing. That's the only thing we're doing in class. These other classes are not just broadcast classes. They're an FYS on media. So they're, you know, have content that they are learning about media and also making these video packages. So that's been a challenge. It's been a good thing because they bring in new perspectives and what they're learning from class into these packages, but it's, you know, time. You know, you want to have all the time in the world, but when you have to learn things and, you know, turn in a product for this production, it'd be a crunch, but we're doing well. We're on schedule, as far as I can tell, ahead of schedule, really. So it's been good.
With us having, you know, many college students we can't really focus on one particular thing. That's where PBS 39 comes in, because they can essentially just focus on the broadcast, because you know that's a big part of their station. So how are you?
Words are hard.
Exactly. So how are you coordinating with PBS 39, and how is that interaction?
True.
I guess
in that relationship.
Yeah.
So one of the great things about having worked on broadcast before, and my, you know, co-student producer John, we actually first met, you know, working on the immigration broadcast, is we know the personnel we're working with. Laura McHugh at PBS is one of the executive producers for our broadcast, but she's also like an executive producer at PBS. So she knows how they can help us, and she knows exactly what we need to do to make the relationship work well. So a lot, you know, Laura's in class almost every single day that we have class, which is great. So, you know, like today, I was in a place where my storyboard was, how I originally envisioned my storyboard wasn't matching necessarily the video I got from the interviews I had done. So I sat down with Laura saying, Laura, you know, in your great experience with being a reporter and working at PBS, what should I be doing? Like, what am I missing? Because I was really struggling. So it's really great working with PBS because they're professionals. This is what they do for a living, and they are there to help us get to their level. Because PBS will only accept the best. And they're the most trusted brand in broadcasting and in media, so we need to live up to that. So they help us, and they show us, and they tell us, this is what you have to do. So the relationship is really good. It's a very strong one, and it's one that is not just you're going to create content for us and we're going to put it on. It's we'll teach you. We'll teach you how to put together a storyboard, how to interview people, how to film, how to edit, all of this. And Chris Knight, who doesn't work for PBS but is like an independent like technical consultant for us, has been amazing. He does so much for this broadcast. So we just have a very dedicated group of professionals that just want to see us succeed. And not only succeed, but learn how to succeed. They're going to help us in ways that let us do it ourselves without just doing it for us. So the relationship is really strong. And there's people, you know, outside of PBS, there's, you know, two or three other reporters from other stations that have come in to help us specifically on this broadcast. Because, like I said, it's a beast. And there are so many people in so many parts that you really need multiple people. But PBS in particular, why they keep partnering up with us year after year for Lafayette Lens and these election broadcasts, because they trust us. They trust Lafayette students to, you know, step up and really come forward with a product that not only the students can be proud of, but PBS supports and is proud of as well. So, I don't know. That's one of my favorite parts, is getting to work with professional news team. You know, I don't really want to go into journalism or media per se, you know, moving forward, but I've picked up so many skills and so, you know, met people and saw what it's like to work in this professional setting that helps, you know, no matter what you plan to do moving forward.
So with PBS 39 doing this, they know what they're doing, but what do you see as some of the potential logistical issues on election night?
My biggest fear is that someone gets laryngitis, like, the week of. So, like, God forbid one of our hosts like can't talk the night of, that would be something I don't want to think about, but I have to. And it's funny that one of those meetings where we were starting to talk about the live production and what we want to do with the floor plan, you know, what sort of things we needed from the production team, mm-hmm. one of the people turned to me and they're like, you are really worried about way too many things you shouldn't be worried about yet. I was like, I need to be worried about them now so I have a plan for, like, yeah. if they actually go wrong. So logistically, you just have so many moving parts. And, you know, inevitably, something's going to happen where we say, oh, now we're going to turn to the bullpen when we should be turning to the right. results desk. And that happens on live TV all the time. Mm-hmm. And our hosts are learning how to handle that situation. You know, it's okay to let your audience know, oh, we've had a change of plans. We're going to go over here now. Mm-hmm. So logistically, I don't want to say I'm worried about anything, but there are little things in my mind, one of them being one of the people that have trained so hard to take on the role that yeah. they've, you know, been given that night, not being able to do it. If someone gets sick, you know, this is November, you know, late in the semester, everyone, you know, gets yeah. sick at some point. Let's hope, you know, camera batteries are all good. Like, there's so many things. But the thing is, you have to have a good team around you. And yeah. inevitably, something will not go according to plan. That's why it's live. That's why it's yeah. exciting. But you just have to have people that are going to be able to handle that and know where to turn to fix it or how to fix it themselves. So yeah, but we're going to hope everyone drinks their orange juice that week. Yep. No one is yep. sick. All the batteries are charged. That's why we bring in professionals with their professional cameras. Actually, they're not going to be running on batteries. I'm sure they're going to be plugged yeah. into the wall. No, so no. electricity is going to stay on there. We're not going to have a hurricane. We're not going to have a tornado. We're not going to have norovirus. Like, nothing is going to go wrong that week.
Okay. Yes. So final question. I've asked this question a couple times. Mm-hmm. What do you hope comes out of the election night broadcast?
Oh, wow. I think I have a couple different hopes for the broadcast, you know, depending on who you are and how you're involved with it. For our audience, for our PBS viewers, I hope that they get a well-informed, very balanced live election night broadcast that they are impressed with and that they trust. And that they say, you know, next election, I'm turning to PBS 39 for my coverage. Yep. I want them to see exactly what Lafayette and Lafayette students and the people working on this broadcast have worked so hard for. And what we really, you know, find pride in the product we're turning out. And I really hope that they see that, you know, the next generation of Americans, you know, these first-time voters actually care about what's going on in our country and have a vested interest in the outcome of it. So that's what I really hope that they see, the end product shows them, is that, you know, one, we're sharp, very yeah. intelligent students that know what they're talking about and can work with in a professional setting like this. But for the people involved, I hope they enjoy it. I know it's kind of a slog to get through the semester. And two of my four classes are related to this broadcast. So I think I know more than anyone, like, how much, like, yeah. I will be, once this is done, I'm going to enjoy the night of. I was actually texting with someone who worked on the broadcast 4 years ago, the election broadcast, and he was saying, like, I know it's tough, I know it's difficult, I know you're probably not getting enough sleep, but are you enjoying it? I was like, there are moments where I can sit back and say, yes, I'm enjoying it, but I think November 9th I will 100% be able to say it was a good experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope we have a good broadcast. I hope people enjoy it. I hope they tell, you know, underclassmen and things like that, mm-hmm. that they should get involved with it. Not just election broadcast, but Lafayette Lens. So yeah, I'm hoping for a good broadcast and that people know more about our country and how elections work and why they're important.
Okay. That's all we have. Thank you very much for your time, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ben, Kat, and Rachel for joining us today. We really appreciate having you guys on. You guys were very, very interesting to talk to and very interesting to listen to. So we have our third and final presidential debate on tomorrow night. So, Chris, what are you hoping for out of this this final and last debate?
I'm hoping that both candidates don't focus on how much the other one stinks, but more on policy. What are they going to do to make America a better place to live in? I think if that potentially happens, I think it's a win-win situation for everyone, for the candidates, for us as citizens. So I think that's my hope. What's your hope?
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you. Every week, the past few weeks, I've been looking forward to whatever Saturday Night Live ends up doing with whatever happens with these debates. This week, I'm hoping that they have no material and that we have a good, clean debate where we actually discuss issues that will matter to the American people. And with that, I think we're going to close out our show. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Again, watch the debate tomorrow. Again, it'll be on literally every single channel, so you have no excuse not to watch it. 9 o'clock on every channel. I don't think ESPN shows it.
No, it's all the news channels and all the networks.
Everything else.
So yeah, you'll definitely be able to watch it.
All right, have a great rest of your day, guys.